Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The year is the 27th year of the reign of Augustus. About 4 BC, by our reckoning, the scene is the imperial palace in Rome. Augustus Caesar, ruler of, well, pretty much everything, is being briefed on the state of his empire by his right-hand man, main general, and stepson, Tiberius. It looks good. Germany looks good. The locals are running scared. Gains are being consolidated. Roman soldiers are washing their feet in the Elbe River. The East is under control. Puppet states like Judea, with their pathetic tin pot kings like Herod, are firmly under the Roman thumb and providing a nice human shield between Rome and the scary barbarians further east. Roman ships rule the Mediterranean. The economy is good. Some local politicians are stirring up some anti-Augustus, we want the Republic back rhetoric, but they'll be easy to take care of. It's hard work running an empire, but things look good. Nice work, says Augustus. Thank you, sir, says Tiberius. And they settle down to a lovely Roman lunch of lark's tongues and roasted hummingbirds. Meanwhile, at precisely the same time, thousands of miles away, in a little Galilean town called Nazareth, a town so scruffy and insignificant that all the other Galileans make jokes about it, in that scruffy little town, in a little house, a young woman is alone, and she's having an extraordinary experience. Her God, the one mysterious, sovereign, all-encompassing God of her fathers and mothers. Her God is asking this girl to carry his holy child into the world. Two scenes. An emperor and his general surveying their territory and planning their campaigns. And a poor, puzzled Jewish girl alone in her room. The utterly powerful and the completely obscure. But which one really changes the world? In our hearts, we know the answer to that question. And that's why we're here. In our hearts, we know that the empire of Augustus and Tiberius, all the emperors who followed, in a few hundred years, it was a shambles. In our hearts, we know the answer to that question. Which ones really changed the world? But it's easy to forget. It's easy for the simple, quiet, beautiful story of a young girl offering God her soul and body. It's easy for that story, that little story, to be overwhelmed by louder, harsher stories, stories of emperors, generals, conquests. In Mary's day, it was hard to see and easy to forget where God really worked. And sometimes we forget. Like the people of Mary's times, sometimes we assume that the real world-changing events, the things that are really going to make a difference, have to take place on a big stage and will only be accomplished by the Caesars and Tiberiuses of our day. Sometimes we forget how God works. And unlike Mary's time, we've got an extra challenge because we have to deal with full-time media coming at us from all directions. Ideologues of all stripes and all political persuasions trying to con us into thinking that everything will be okay if we just put the right people in positions of power or kick the right people out. Try to con us into believing that's where it all happens. And it all sounds realistic and hard-nosed and sensible and practical, but somehow it just doesn't smell right to our souls. So what do? We come to church. We come to church and we sit and we listen to an old, old story about a girl named Mary. And we remember. We remember. This is how God chooses to enter our world. Paradoxical as it may be to our worldly minds, this is how God does it. Not through the corridors of power, and not through the actions of the mighty and the great. Quieter way, through the hearts of faithful people, obscure though they may be, unknown though they may be, through the hearts of faithful people who trust enough and have courage enough to say yes to him when he calls them. We listen to the story of Mary and we remember. This is how it works. Through ordinary people. Like us. We're all Mary. And so we step back for a little while from the TV screens and the computers. We turn off the talk radio for a bit and we listen. We listen for a different voice telling us something truer, more real. We listen to what really counts. We listen to the words of Scripture. We listen to the prayers of the church. We listen to the quiet urgings of our own hearts. They all remind us. This is how it happens. Through the heart of the faithful. We listen for the word of God coming to us, asking us to take on the ministry of Mary, asking us to bear his son into the world, because this is how God works. How is God calling me to bear his son into the world? How is God calling you to carry his son into the world? Perhaps in a difficult, risky act of forgiveness and reconciliation. Maybe that's your calling this Advent. Maybe it's mine. Perhaps God is asking us to bear his son into the world by seeking forgiveness when we know we need it. Hard though that can be to do. Perhaps God is calling us to bear his son into the world in an act of defiance, raising our voice against injustice around us, against the things in our communities and our societies that make sure people who are down stay down. Perhaps we're being called to bear Christ into the world by rededicating ourselves to creating church communities of Christian character that display for all to see the qualities of forgiveness and love and mercy. Because the world needs to see that, and it's our job to show them. How are we being called to bear Christ into the world this Advent? Maybe it's something as simple as the way we treat the people who take care of us when we go out to eat or stand in the checkout line at the HEB. Maybe something as quiet as how we think about all those other drivers around us as we're stuck in traffic trying to get under SPID. Mary's mission is our mission, to bear God's Son into a waiting world. And when we're paying attention, as this Advent season urges us to do, when we're listening and watching, God sends us, each one of us, all kinds of ways to do that. All kinds of ways for you and me and the person beside you in the pew to be Mary. Because that's how God works. The world tells us loud, harsh stories about the great and the mighty. The world tries to distract us with the Caesars and Tiberiuses, Tiberia, of our day. But this quiet season, we turn aside from that. Today, we remember a young Jewish girl named Mary, alone in her little home in a scruffy little town called Nazareth. Today we remember, this is how God's Son enters the world. This is how God's kingdom enters our world. This is how things really change. When God's faithful people take time to listen for his voice, when God's faithful people, each one, has the courage to say with Mary, "Behold, we're the servants of the Lord. Let it be for us according to your word." In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can we stand together, please?